Both watched Toby come to a standstill, apparently distracted by the magazine display.
If she can't, I get to pick what we watch on Sunday, my dad said. If she can, it's your pick.
I looked at Toby, who was back in motion, and nodded. Deal. We shook on it, and I looked back at the mini-mart, willing Toby to move faster. My dad and I had fallen into the habit of having lazy, stay-around-the-house Sundays. We usually seemed to both wind up in my dad's study, where I'd pretend to read my textbooks and he'd pretend to read his latest historical biography, while we basically just watched TV all day. Last week, my dad had decided to be proactive about it and had DVR'd a John Wayne marathon. I'd rolled my eyes, but it actually hadn't been that bad, though I was looking forward to getting him back with a marathon of my own. I glanced down at the countdown clock on my phone, then turned it over, knowing if I didn't, I'd just stare at it the whole time. I leaned back in my seat and looked around, suddenly realizing where we were. At the mini-mart, almost on the Hartfield border. I glanced over at my dad, wondering for a second if he knew. My mom had always said it was our secret, but I was a kid then, so I'd never actually been sure. I took a breath, then said, "Did Mom ever tell you we used to come here?" My dad just looked at me.
"Where?"
he asked, sounding confused.
"The gas station?"
"Not really," I said, closing my eyes for just a second and remembering. My mom gently shaking me awake, the smile on her face as I struggled to bring her into focus. "Andy," she'd whisper, "want to go have an adventure?" "It was when you were working in D.C., I said, the words coming slowly. I'd never talked about this to anyone before. It had been something just between my mother and me. All those magical nights where time seemed to stop, and for a little while it was like we were the only people awake in the world. Like the stars were shining for us alone. I never knew when it was going to happen. She said it was when life was getting too ordinary.
That sounds like her,
my dad said, a smile tugging at one corner of his mouth, his voice quiet. She'd wake me up, I said, smiling just remembering it, how it somehow felt exciting just to be out and driving around in a car in my cupcake pajamas. We'd drive all over in the Mustang with the top down. We'd always end up here. We both sat quietly for a moment, looking into the window of the store as Toby wandered down an aisle, stopped, consulted the list, then started moving again. "We used to get candy and hot chocolate," I said, remembering what it had been like to drive home, the wind whipping through my hair and my hands around the warm paper cup. She always said that it was something you didn't necessarily need to know about.
"I'm glad you told me,"
my dad said, his voice still quiet, a tiny hitch in the back of it somewhere. We weren't looking at each other now. We were both looking straight ahead, and I knew that was making it easier.
"She really could make anything magical, couldn't she?"
I nodded. It was one of the things I'd taken for granted when it was just my life. But now that it was gone, I could see how amazing and rare it had been. "She could," I said, still looking ahead, feeling my throat get tight. "It's like anything could be an adventure. Even just driving around in pajamas."
"You know how much she loved you, right?"
my dad asked. And two tears fell down, one from each of my eyes, without me even realizing they were going to,
She thought you hung the moon. She'd be so proud of you.
I brushed the back of my hand over my face and took a shaky breath.
Yeah?
I asked, thinking that she probably would have been. With my grades and my goals and my other summers full of productive things.
Absolutely,
my dad said, his voice still cracking a little.
This thing with the dogs, she would have loved that. She would have done a series of oil paintings of them all by now.
I gave a laugh at that, with half a sob mixed in, because I could see in that moment just how true it was. My mother would have loved that I was outside all day, that I was having fun. I would have come home every day and told her about the canine misadventures, and she would have done different voices for every dog. What happened to the Mustang? I asked after we'd sat in silence for a moment, even though it didn't feel like bad silence. It just felt filled up.
I'm not sure,
my dad said, looking down at the steering wheel.
I could find out if you want.
I nodded. Yeah, I said. That'd be good.
Here!
The back seat door was flung open and Toby tumbled inside, carrying two overstuffed plastic bags. The inside lights flared on and it suddenly seemed very bright. I leaned forward, brushing my hand over my face again, hoping it wasn't totally obvious that I'd been crying.
I'm here! Did I make it?
Oh, I said, turning over my phone to look at the timer. I had totally forgotten about it. I'd forgotten, frankly, about the scavenger hunt.
No. Missed it by a minute and a half.
I looked at my dad, who was starting the car with a grin. Now that I was getting pulled out of this moment I'd had with my dad, it was all coming back to me. The side bet we'd placed on Toby, which meant he got to choose our next movie. Just no more John Wayne?
I make no promises, he said.
He turned and looked at me, gave me a small smile, and I gave him one back. And even though we weren't technically speaking, it felt like we were saying the same thing. Then he put the car in gear and pulled away from the mini-mart. 16 minutes later, he screeched to a stop, pulling to the side of the street in front of the Winthrop statue.
We made it,
he said, exhaling and shooting me a smile across the car.
Let's move, people,
Toby said, clapping her hands and then scrambling to pick up the items that were scattered all over the back seat.
Andy, can you see anyone? Did everyone else beat us here?
I see the guys, I said, unbuckling my seatbelt and leaning forward to look. While we'd been gone, Palmer had clearly been busy. The picnic table was now divided into three sections, and she'd put signs up, marking which team each section belonged to. Clark and Tom were setting up a truly impressive pile of stuff, and I felt a twinge of alarm. From a distance, at least, it looked like we would be pretty evenly matched, if not behind them. But I don't see Bree or Wyatt anywhere. Toby stepped backward out of the car, hoisting an overstuffed canvas bag on each shoulder, and slammed the door closed with her foot.
I'll get us started, she said, already running toward the table. Hurry!
I grabbed my stuff and hustled out, shutting the door behind me. I started to follow Toby toward the picnic table, but then stopped and turned back to the car, where my dad was watching the proceedings through my open passenger seat window. I said, not really sure what to say. I suddenly wished this weren't ending in just a few minutes. For a while there, it was like we'd been part of the same team.
Thanks,
I finally said, and my dad gave me a smile.
Good luck,
he said, shifting the car into drive.
Just don't stay out too late celebrating our victory. Knock on wood, I called, as I started to run toward the table, and his car pulled out, now moving at a much more normal speed as it headed in the direction of the house. 2 minutes, Palmer called out as I stumble ran up to the table. Okay, I muttered. I dropped my bags and started hauling stuff out of them. Tom and Clark were at the opposite end of the table. The middle was Bree and Wyatt's, and it was still totally empty. Have they not shown up yet? I asked. Palmer shook her head. We don't have time for this! Toby yelled, much louder than she actually needed to. Who cares where they are? If they're not here, it's one less team we have to beat. Oh, you think you're going to beat us? Tom asked from where he and Clark were organizing the items on their end of the table. That's why I said it, Toby shot back. Easy there, you two, Clark said, looking over at me. How'd you guys do? I took a breath to answer, and Toby snapped her fingers in my face. No fraternizing, she yelled, her face turning alarmingly red again. We have to see where we stand. 1 minute, Palmer said, and I pulled out the list. Okay, we have pizza, I said, giving it a check mark. A menu. Something with a boat on it. A square you eat, I said, looking at the Rice Krispies treat Toby had picked up in the mini-mart. Something hot, something cold, items of formal wear, a coin from 1972. Ugh, Toby said, as she nudged it to the center of the table, touching it with one finger. Think how many decades of germs are probably on it. Soda, napkins, the pun, cotton balls. The bell, book, and candle, Toby said, pointing. The sample spoon. And I kind of know the thriller dance. How many points is that? I asked, biting my lip as Palmer started the 10-second countdown. I'm adding, she said, looking at me, and I could see she looked as worried as I felt. How many do you guys have? She asked, just as Palmer yelled, Time! I let out a long breath, and Toby held up her hand for a high five. Go team, she said.
Hey, Clark said, reaching out his hand for mine. Don't be mad about the diner. It was all Tom's idea.
It was, Tom said as he circled the table, clearly trying to see how our pile stacked up to theirs. And my keys? I asked, trying to stay mad but sensing that it was a losing battle.
Oh, that was all me, Clark said, as I relented and took his hand, and he raised mine to his lips and gave it a quick kiss.
Okay, Palmer said, clapping her hands together and grinning at us. How'd you guys do? She looked around. And where are Bree and Wyatt? They're totally disqualified by now. Who cares about them? Tom asked. He straightened up from where he'd been counting our items. Who won? Just give me a second to tally, Palmer said, pulling out her own copy of the list. You guys caught a firefly? Toby asked, from where she was staring at the guy's pile. Seriously? And that counts for 3 extra, Tom said, walking over to his side of the table. Something alive, something in a jar, and something that lights up. I felt my heart sink as I looked over at Toby. It was looking more and more likely that the guys had won this. And it's a tie, Palmer said, setting down her sheet of paper, eyebrows shooting up. You both have 84 points. I'm not sure this has ever happened before.
Wait, what?
Tom asked, frowning down at Palmer's paper.
How is that possible? I spent like $10 getting all the blue gumballs.
Well, we did waste a lot of time catching that firefly, Clark pointed out, sliding his arm over my shoulder and pulling me in close to him.
Rookie mistake, Palmer said, shaking her head.
Also, Carly thinks your name is Phil, Toby said gleefully, apparently a believer in kicking someone while they were down.
Congratulations to both teams, Palmer said as she opened up the pizza boxes. Who's hungry?
But nobody won, Toby said, frowning at the guys' items, clearly counting them again silently.
But Bree and Wyatt definitely lost, Clark pointed out. So there's that.
Oh, right, Toby said, brightening, as she grabbed a piece of pizza and a napkin. Honestly, I said to Palmer, taking a cheese slice after checking that no other toppings had migrated onto it. Was the pizza your way of getting us to bring dinner? Palmer shrugged.
I just know how hungry these things can make you, she said,
giving me a tiny wink. We ended up pushing the items to the side and sitting around the picnic table, mostly hearing about Tom's failed attempt to convince a notary to work after hours. I was recounting the story of my dad suddenly going rogue and stealing spoons when headlights cut across the grass, and a moment later I recognized Wyatt's truck.
Finally, Palmer said, setting down her crust.
She looked at her watch.
Do you think they thought they had 3 hours, not two? Are they really going to play that card?
I bet you they got them all, though, Tom said despondently as he rolled the empty jar between his palms. Just someone tell them that we really did have a firefly. Clark, we never should have set it free.
Bree and Wyatt climbed out of the truck, and I watched, expecting them to go around to the back and start unloading the bags of their stuff, come running up to the picnic table full speed. But they just continued on toward us, walking a few feet apart, both of them empty-handed.
Hey! Toby called as they got closer.
Where have you guys been? And where's all your stuff?
Car broke down when we were on the way to the diner,
Wyatt said, pushing his hair back with one hand.
I had to call AAA and get a jump.
Yeah, Bree said, shaking her head. They took forever to get there, too.
Are you okay? Toby asked Bree, eyes wide. Were you, like, stranded on the side of the highway? That's how almost every serial killer movie starts.
We're fine,
Wyatt said with a laugh.
Totally unmurdered.
So you weren't able to get anything? Palmer said, putting her hands in her back pockets and then taking them out again. A slight hurt tone to her voice that I almost never heard.
We really wanted to, Bree said quickly, looking at Palmer and then away again.
But... Palmer nodded and started cleaning up, putting empty plates and crusts into the pizza box, spending time making sure she got the lid on just right.
So, who won?
Bree asked, her voice a little more cheerful than usual. And I wondered if she was picking up on the same thing I was, that Palmer was disappointed, that the fact they hadn't participated at all was draining some of the joy from the whole thing.
Ty, Toby and Tom said in unison.
Really?
Wyatt asked, as he loped over to the table and started looking at what was there.
Wow, they just gave you these diner menus?
Please tell me there's some pizza left, Bree said.
Only if you want weird toppings, I said, opening up the box that was in front of me, the one that still had a few passed-over slices in it. Wyatt, no doubt drawn by the prospect of food, came to stand next to Bree as I tried to figure out what 3 toppings Clark and Tom had gone with. So I think this is pepperoni, jalapeno, and
Pineapple? I asked, staring at the slice and feeling myself recoil.
Ugh, why would you guys do that to yourselves?
I glanced up and saw Wyatt nudging Bree as she tried to take a bite of the terrible-sounding pizza, and Bree turning away, taking her pizza and going to sit next to Toby.
So,
Wyatt said, sitting down on the bench and taking a slice of his own.
What did we miss? We need details.
So, tell me something, Clark said to me a few hours later. We were lying on a blanket in the back of his SUV, taking a brief kissing break, the back door open and a breeze intermittently blowing through the car. After we'd brought the items back to our own cars and cleaned up the impromptu pizza party, and Wyatt and Clark had affixed Tom's bow tie around Winthrop's neck, everyone had scattered, and Clark and I had headed to his house to watch a movie. Even if there were a movie playing, it would simply be in the background, a pretense for fooling around. We'd been doing this for a while now, so even the pretending to need the movie was starting to get old. But Clark had just gotten to the gatehouse when he'd slowed, then put the car in park. We looked at the time, did some quick calculations, and realized that if I was going to make it back for my curfew, which, since my grounding, I did try to stick to the general vicinity of, we were going to lose most of our time getting to his place and then back to mine. So, after a brief discussion, Clark had turned the car around and we'd returned, parked to the side of the road near the statue of Winthrop, beneath the section with no streetlights shining in on us. Clark's second row of seats was already down from hauling the mountain bikes, and I was glad they weren't currently there, taking up precious space. Clark had raised the back, and we'd stretched out there for a few minutes, looking up at the stars through the open door, listening to the low hum of the cicadas in the grass. "What's that?" I asked. He must have gotten some sun today. The skin on his neck was warm, and I rested my lips there for a moment before putting my head on his chest. I felt the soft cotton of his t-shirt under my cheek and just breathed in that Clark smell I loved so much but hadn't yet adequately been able to describe to my friends. It was just him, and it made me feel wide awake and really peaceful all at the same time.
"You guys," Clark said, turning to face me a little more fully, moonlight and reflected streetlight falling across his face. His glasses were carefully folded and placed against the window, and he reached for them now and slipped them on, then smiled when he saw me, like I'd just come into focus.
"Your friends. This is what you guys do."
I looked at him. "I'm going to need more than that," I said, after a second of trying to figure out what he was talking about. "I thought you were supposed to be good with words."
"Sorry,"
Clark said, giving me a quick, embarrassed smile. It faded, and I realized in that moment that this was actually something more serious, probably not something I should be teasing him for trying to ask about.
"No, tell me," I said, propping myself up on an elbow. "What do you mean?"
"Just..."
Clark gestured to the bag propped by the wheel well, the one that contained half of the scavenger hunt items, including 8 blue gumballs that were all his.
"You guys, you do things like this. It's the coin of the realm with you."
I smiled at that.
"You create quests, scavenger hunts. You hang out together all the time. You have these games and inside jokes and nicknames and adventures."
Clark looked down at his hands, and I got the feeling he was weighing every word before he spoke, trying to find the one that would let me understand what he was feeling. Well, not all the time, I said, not wanting him to get a false impression of things. During the school year, there's a lot more homework and a lot more of Tom attempting to grow a beard so he'll get cast in the Chekhov play.
I guess I just... Lark said as he adjusted his glasses. I've never had a group of friends, so I didn't...
He shook his head.
I didn't know it could be like this.
Oh, I said quietly, finally understanding what he meant. I didn't want to tell him that it wasn't always good, or wasn't always like this, because the fact is that most of the time it was. I'd sometimes look at other people in my school, the girls who seemed to thrive on drama and were always fighting with their friends, the ones who didn't even seem to like their friends that much. And I know just how lucky I was. But I wasn't sure that was what Clark needed to hear at the moment. Well, I said, as I moved closer to him, laying my head back down on his chest and hooking my foot over his, letting our legs tangle together. Maybe you missed having a group before, I said. But you're part of one now. Clark didn't say anything for a long moment, and it was like I could practically feel him turning over these words, thinking about their implications. Finally, I felt him kiss the top of my head, rest his chin there.
How about that?
So, next summer, I said, you're going to want to refine your strategy early. If you want a chance of winning, that is, because... It was like my brain caught up to what I was saying just a moment too late. Clark wouldn't be here next summer. He'd be back in Colorado, or he'd be somewhere else, but he would not be in Stanwich, doing a scavenger hunt with my friends.
Oh, Clark said, pulling away a little so he could look at me and dashing my hopes that he had just not been paying attention to the last thing I'd said. Are you...
Never mind, I said quickly, feeling like this was a conversation I really didn't want to have. We had been having a nice moment, and the last thing I wanted to do was spoil it. I stretched up to kiss him, wishing I could rewind the last minute and delete it. We're good. We had to get moving not long after that. Clark finally gave me my keys back, and we kissed goodbye, when he insisted on walking me to my car, even though it was only parked a few feet from his. After we'd kissed as long as we could without me really being in danger of staying out past my curfew, Clark got into his car and kissed me one last time through his open driver's side window. And I watched him drive away, his taillights growing fainter, until he rounded the bend in the road and I lost them. Then I headed home, yawning. I let myself in and stopped in the kitchen for a glass of water. As I was drinking it, I saw a note taped to the kitchen TV in my dad's neat, slanted handwriting.
Well, did we win?
I smiled at that, then looked down at the phone in my hand. I normally just texted my dad when I got home, so that even if he was sleeping, he could see the timestamp. But I was pretty sure I'd seen a light on as I'd driven up to the house, and as I glanced down the hallway, I saw that there was a light on in my dad's study, and that the door was cracked open. I walked down the hall and knocked once before pushing the door open all the way. My dad was lying on the leather couch in his study, reading some papers that he was holding above his head. He pushed his reading glasses up and smiled when he saw me. Hi, I said, leaning against the doorway, giving him a small smile back. I'm home. Chapter 13. So, Carl and Marjorie are on the run, I said, as Clark, lying next to me on the couch, pointed the remote at the movie we'd been totally ignoring, silencing it. But, I said, as I ran my fingers through his hair, Carl doesn't know Marjorie's sold him out, told the highwayman about him. Clark tossed the remote in the general direction of the coffee table and started kissing down my neck.
Oh, are there highwaymen now?
Of course, I said, twirling my fingers in his hair, leaning in to kiss him. Every good story has them.
And so I asked Bree what I should do about Wyatt now, since he told me about this other girl he likes, and she had, like, nothing to say, Toby said, as she paced in front of me in the gallery that was mostly impressionist, except for the unicorn tapestry and the Warhol. I said, trying my best to focus on her, but finding that every few seconds, my thoughts were straying back to Clark. His eyes. His lips. His hands.
Andy, Toby said, waving her hand in front of my face. Are you even listening to me?
Of course,
Clark said, as I rolled on top of him on the couch. We'd removed the side and back pillows, since they kept getting in the way. We hadn't yet moved things into his bedroom. I think we were both a little too aware of the implications that might come with that, but we had pretty much turned every couch in his house into a bed equivalent.
Marjorie doesn't know that Carl has some plans of his own.
Oh, yeah? I asked, in between kisses, as I slipped my hands under the fabric of Clark's t-shirt and pulled it over his head. Ever since I'd seen his abs on the beach, I tended to need constant verification that they were still present and accounted for. And what might those be?
She needs to let it go, Palmer said, as she glanced away from the stage and to me.
I was slouched down in the theater seat, my feet propped on the seat back in front of me. I'd mostly come to the community theater for the free air conditioning between walks, and had found myself pulled into the Toby Wyatt conundrum.
And Bree agrees with me. He told her how he felt, and now it's just getting super awkward.
Right, I said, nodding. There was part of me that agreed with Palmer. But most of me was thinking about the fact that I'd get to see Clark in less than 2 hours, and my pulse was already racing just thinking about it.
Totally.
Oh my God. I looked over to see Palmer shaking her head at me.
Alexandra, you are so far gone.
I was beginning to understand what Palmer, and even Bree, had been talking about now. My boundaries, the ones I'd once clung to so fiercely, had long since vanished. Now I was the one moving us forward, while Clark would stop, his eyes searching mine in the darkness, asking me if I was okay, if I was sure. And with every new threshold we crossed, it was getting harder to remember just why I'd clung to all those rules in the first place. When I could think about it clearly, always after the fact, my brain no longer gone fuzzy at the sight of Clark and the feel of his hands on me, I would realize that it wasn't a coincidence it was happening now. It was Clark. I trusted him, and I knew him. And it made me wonder, every time we stopped, just why we weren't going forward. And as I started to care very little for anything that wasn't the two of us, alone in the darkness, it fell to Clark to pick up the slack.
Your curfew's in 30 minutes,
Clark said, breaking away from kissing me, his voice breathless as he squinted at his digital watch,
the glow from the tiny screen the only light in the room.
"Such a long time," I said, running my fingers over his arm, which was propped above me.
"Your dad got super mad last time," he reminded me,
even as his head started to dip down toward mine. "He got over it."
"We'll have to find your bra."
I waved this away. "Details."
"And my shirt."
"You shouldn't ever wear one of those," I said, running my hand over the ridges of Clark's abs. "Why cover this up?"
"Fine," he said, pushing some buttons on his watch.
They made a little beep sound like he'd just programmed the world's tiniest microwave.
10 more minutes, but then I have to drive you home.
"Sure," I said, stretching him up to kiss him as he wrapped his arms around me, pulling me close, my skin against his. "Sounds like a plan."
"I think she's getting over him, don't you?" Bree asked me from across the diner booth. I started to nod, then hesitated when I realized I had no idea who she was talking about.
Remind me again?"
"Toby,"
Bree said, in the extra slow way my friends had taken to speaking to me these days.
"Getting over Wyatt?"
"Oh," I said, reaching to snag one of the mozzarella sticks we were sharing. I knew I hadn't been totally paying attention recently, but even I knew this didn't sound right.
"I'm not so sure about that."
Bree nodded and looked down at the paper placemat in front of her, like she was studying one of the ads for the local businesses printed on it.
"You okay?"
"Yeah,"
Bree said, taking a mozzarella stick of her own.
"I was just hoping that Toby was moving on. It's not good for her, especially when he told her he wasn't interested."
"I think she just needs time," I said with a shrug.
"Or,"
Bree said, sitting up straighter,
"I need to fix her up with someone."
I winced. Bree liked to think she was a great matchmaker, but she was absolutely terrible at it. After we'd all been burned a few too many times, we'd made her swear that she was done with it.
"What about the oath you swore that you would never do that again? Remember, the one you took after the mullet guy?"
Bree waved this away and shook her head, looking determined, and now much more cheerful.
"These are extreme circumstances," she said. "Trust me, it's a great idea."
"Hold on,"
Clark said, sounding half out of breath as he fumbled with one hand behind him, trying to find his bedroom doorknob.
"Holding,"
I said, and I leaned down to kiss him, even though I knew I was making the situation worse. We'd been on the couch when I'd decided that I couldn't stand it any longer. I was getting a crick in my neck, and the fabric of the cushions was scratching my skin. It just seemed crazy that we were putting ourselves through that when there was a perfectly good, unused bed right down the hall. We hadn't stopped kissing as we walked, even though I knew it was probably slowing us down. Clark was half carrying me, my legs wrapped around his waist, as he finally opened the door and stumbled for a few steps inside. I kissed him again, and we stayed that way for a long moment before he set me down. And I looked around, taking in his room for the first time since the night of Birdie and the chocolate. It looked the same, the neat stacks of clothing, the carefully made bed. Although I did notice that the books on writer's block seemed to have vanished from the top of his desk. I looked at the bed for a long moment, letting my mind go places it probably shouldn't. As things with us had progressed, our discussions over the last 2 weeks about taking things to the next level had gone from if to when. which was exciting and scary and overwhelming and pretty much all I could think about.
You okay?
Lark asked, squeezing my hand. I squeezed his back and made myself look away from the bed, making myself remember that this random Tuesday would not be the night. I had to get my head around it a little more first, talk to my friends, and actually do my hair, as opposed to just twisting it into a knot like I'd done tonight. I wanted it to be totally special.
Hey,
Lark said from behind me as he slid his arms around my waist and kissed that one spot on my shoulder. He pulled me closer against him, and I swore I could feel the beat of his heart against my back. I turned to face him, and he ran his hand over my hair, his fingers trailing down my cheek, stroking along my jawline so gently. Something precious. He leaned down to kiss me, and I kissed him back. And then we were kiss-walking across the room, until we fell down onto the bed together. And then there was only his lips and his hands and our breath, falling into a rhythm until I couldn't think about anything except him and us and now.
Talk,
Palmer said, pointing her Twizzler at me.
Andy, details.
I rolled over to look at her, holding my hand up to cut the glare. We were sunbathing on Palmer's roof, all four of us. Our schedules had aligned for the afternoon, and it wasn't until we'd set up there with towels and snacks that I realized it had been a while since it had been just us, no boyfriends or crushes or Tom. And how much I'd missed just the four of us hanging out.
What?
I asked, even though I was pretty sure I knew. And it was one of the reasons I'd wanted to hang out with them today. I needed some girl talk, and to figure out what I was feeling. In a way I never seemed to be able to, except when we were together.
Come on, Rhee said, pushing her sunglasses on top of her head. You and Clark! Spill!
I wasn't quite able to stop myself from smiling as I smoothed out the edges of my towel. This, truthfully, was a new experience for me. My friends and I all knew every detail of what the others had done with guys, but I usually didn't have anything to contribute to this conversation. I'd been keeping things vague with them and letting them believe I was still safe within my old boundaries.
Wait, what?
Toby asked, as she paused in applying her spray-on sunscreen to her legs. She turned to me, her expression incredulous.
Don't tell me the queen of first base is actually doing something.
She totally is, Palmer said, nodding with authority.
You don't lose that many IQ points if you're just kissing someone.
First of all, I said, busying myself with smoothing out imaginary wrinkles in my towel. Why does first base get such a bad rap? It's like the most important base.
This is true, Bree said, nodding. And I know it's true, because in every movie, the first baseman is always really cute.
I'm just saying, wait until you try the other bases, Palmer said, waggling her eyebrows at us.
No, Toby said, holding up her hand. Please, no. Every time you talk about sleeping with Tom, I end up picturing him naked.
You might be surprised to know, Palmer started, raising an eyebrow as Toby waved her hands in front of her face.
Seriously, stop it, she shuddered. And now I'm seeing it, she said, shaking her head. And I can't unsee it.
All I'm saying, Palmer said, turning to me, is that the other bases are just more interesting.
Mm-hmm, Bree said, taking a long drink of her soda. Yeah,
I murmured without thinking, replaying the night before in my head.
Wait, what?
Toby asked, suddenly sitting up straight. She raised her sunglasses and looked closely at me.
Are you? And Dog Boy?
Lark, I said automatically. Bree shook her head, starting to smile.
Andy, you are so busted, she said. I need details now.
Wait a sec, Palmer said, eyes wide. You guys haven't done it yet, have you? Toby's head whipped over and she stared at me.
No, I said, shaking my head.
But... This was, after all, what I'd wanted to talk to them about. But also, once I talked to them about it, once I said the words and they became part of our conversation, I knew this would become real in a way it hadn't been before.
But we're talking about it.
Like, happening in the next 2 weeks, talking about it.
Oh my God, Palmer said, grabbing my arm and smiling at me. That's so huge.
I can't believe you thought I would have done it without telling you, I said, shaking my head. Did you really think I would have forgotten to mention something that big to you guys?
I don't know, Bree said, her voice muffled as she dug in her bag for something. Sometimes people don't always tell each other every single thing. I mean...
Wait, Toby said, talking over her as she looked around at all of us.
So this means all you guys are off, like, rounding the bases, and I'm still in the dugout. I'm the person selling Cracker Jack in the stands.
This metaphor is getting weird, Palmer murmured to me.
You and Palmer are leaving me and Bree behind, Toby said, as she dropped her sunglasses down again, and Bree started looking through her bag once more. But after this, nobody can go off and have experiences without me. I'm falling way too far back.
So, what's the plan? Bree asked, looking up from her bag. Have you guys talked about it?
I nodded, then hesitated. Something had been bothering me more than I ever would have let Clark know. It won't be his first time, though.
He's done it? Toby asked, looking shocked. Way to go, homeschool.
Yeah, I said, taking a drink of my Diet Coke, which was mostly just crushed ice by now. Then started to tell my friends about it. I'd suspected he had. He seemed to know a lot about the Colorado College dorms for someone who wasn't spending a lot of time there. But when we crossed the line from something that might possibly happen someday to something that's actually going to happen in the foreseeable future, Lark had told me about his ex-girlfriend, and that they'd been pretty serious for a while. This had led to a night I wasn't necessarily proud of, in which I'd Googled C.B. McAllister, girlfriend, Colorado College, pretty, trying to get a visual on what his ex looked like, without success.
Whoa,
Toby said, looking at me closely when I'd finished recounting the story, complete with embarrassing failed internet stalking.
You really like him. Otherwise, you would have told us everything already, whether we wanted to know or not. And you wouldn't care about his ex this much.
I looked down at my cup, shaking it like I could somehow get more Diet Coke to emerge from the ice, wondering why I suddenly felt so much like I was going to cry.
Andy, Palmer said, her voice gentle and much quieter than usual, as she leaned closer to me.
It's okay if you like him. It's good.
I nodded, even though I could feel that my lip was starting to tremble. This wasn't even what I was getting upset about. It was something bigger and so scary that I was mostly avoiding thinking about it and hoping it would just go away.
I know that, I said. But... he's leaving at the end of the summer. I hated even saying it out loud, though it had been circling around in my head ever since I'd realized it the night of the scavenger hunt. Usually, end dates like this didn't bother me. Usually I loved them. But this was different. Clark was different. And I was starting to realize why all my 3-week relationships had been so easy to get over. There was nothing at stake, so there was nothing to lose. And I knew that if we took this next step, if we went there, it would be that much harder when he headed back to Colorado. And it wasn't like it was a surprise to me. I had known, almost from the beginning, that Clark would be leaving when the summer was over. His life was back in Colorado, in an apartment in Colorado Springs that was currently sitting empty, though he had hired someone to collect his mail and leave a different light on every time, in the hopes of making it seem like he'd never left. I'd known this, of course. So why was it suddenly feeling like brand new information? I looked up and saw my friends all had identical, sympathetic expressions on their faces, and I looked away from them and reached for the Doritos.
"Let's talk about something else," I said, hearing how falsely cheerful my voice sounded, but going on anyway.
"Really?" Palmer was looking at me like she was debating whether or not to let me off the hook.
"Really," I said, firmly enough that she nodded and motioned for me to share the Doritos. "We could talk about Toby's date this week," Bree said, brightening. Toby slumped back on her towel.
"I'm still not happy about any of this," she said. She pointed to me and Palmer. "You two are my witnesses."
"Maybe it'll be good," I said, propping myself up on my elbow to look at her.
"Maybe this is how the curse gets broken. Maybe this is how you stop selling the Cracker Jack."
"I don't think so," Toby said with a sigh.
"You don't know that," Palmer said cheerfully.
"It's that weird guy from the projection booth," Toby said flatly.
"Oh," Palmer said more quietly.
"Craig is a nice guy," Bree said firmly. "And he knows a ton about movies."
"'Cause that's always the first thing I look for," Toby muttered.
"You can at least give it a shot," Bree said.
"Or you could just flirt with Gregory," I said, thinking about how every time I was at the Pierce, he was going out of his way to try and talk to Toby, who barely acknowledged him.
"I can tell he likes you."
"Oh, from the museum?" Palmer asked. "He's totally cutish."
"Ugh,"
Toby said, rolling over onto her stomach, clearly done with all of us and this conversation.
"I'm going out with what's-his-face from the movie theater, okay? So just leave me alone."
"You know his name," Bree said, nudging Toby's leg with her foot.
"Don't pretend you don't."
Toby nudged Bree back, though it looked like it was maybe more of a kick.
"Hey!"
Bree said, half yelling and half laughing. She reached out to retaliate as Palmer threw her empty Sprite bottle at them.
"You guys, we are on a roof," she said. "No fighting until we're on the ground."
We all descended through Palmer's room when it started to get dark out, and then congregated on her gravel driveway, talking, but not saying goodbye, since I knew I'd be seeing them in a few hours. Except for Bree, who was working concessions at the evening show and was trying to bribe us with popcorn to come and hang out with her.
"But it's really not that bad," she was saying as she and Toby walked to her car.
I'd walked over from my house, but was feeling sun-stunned and lazy enough that I was considering asking them for a ride.
"That's what you said before we actually saw the movie,"
Palmer reminded her, as Toby flung her stuff into the back seat.
"Not falling for that one twice."
"Andy?"
Bree asked, hopefully.
I shook my head.
"But text when you're done, and we'll tell you where we are."
"Fine,"
Bree said with a sigh as she got into the driver's seat. But a moment later, she stood up again and turned to me.
"Oh, I almost forgot. The woman you work for,
Does she handle cats, too?
Yes, I said a little warily, since I was well aware of the cat under discussion. Maya and Dave mostly did dog walking, but there were a fair number of cat-sitting clients on the roster as well.
Good, Bree said, shoulders slumping with relief. Text me her info, would you? My mom needs someone to bring Miss Cupcakes to the vet, and I almost lost a finger last time.
Sure, I said, pulling out my phone and doing it while it was still fresh in my mind, saying a silent apology to Maya. Done.
Thanks, Bree said, getting into her car.
I could already hear her arguing with Toby about something, indignation mixed with laughter, as they pulled out of Palmer's driveway and headed out, Bree waving out the window as they went. I shouldered my canvas bag, the slight prickling of my skin letting me know I might have missed a spot or two with the sunscreen, and started to head toward my house, only to find Palmer falling into step next to me.
Come on, she said, nodding down the road. I'll walk you home.
I looked down at Palmer's bare feet with their flip-flop tan lines. Shoes? Palmer waved this away and we started walking together, almost in the center of the road.
About Clark, Palmer said, after we'd been walking in silence for a moment or two,
and I knew suddenly this was the reason she'd wanted to walk me back. Apparently, she hadn't actually let me off the hook at all.
Don't fixate on the fact that he's leaving.
But... We walked in silence for a few more steps. We'd totally passed my house by now, but neither of us had even paused in front of it. We were both aware, without having to talk about it, that this was just a ruse to keep talking. I knew that Palmer would wait until I was ready to speak again, and it gave me the space to get my thoughts together a little more. What if we take this huge step together, and then... I let the sentence trail off. I didn't even want to think the words required to finish it.
Just because the summer's over doesn't mean you guys have to be, Palmer pointed out. Even if he goes back to Colorado, planes do exist. You guys could figure it out.
I shook my head, not really able to take this in. I just feel like I should have planned for this.
Here's the thing, Palmer said. You've been really happy this summer.
I looked over at her, and Palmer went on.
Like, the happiest I've ever seen you. And it's also the first time in forever you've had no plan. You've been enjoying the right now. I don't think that's a coincidence.
I know, but...
So maybe just keep doing that. After all, she said, raising an eyebrow at me. This is a problem for future Andy to solve.
I smiled at that.
Well, future Andy is way smarter than I am.
She totally is. She can handle this.
I just wish I knew what was going to happen next.
Palmer nodded, then after a moment said,
But you never really know. I mean, look at what happened with your dad.
I nodded, thinking for a second about the summer I'd wanted to have, but almost couldn't get it to come into focus. A summer at Johns Hopkins would have meant not meeting Clark, which was getting harder and harder to imagine, like trying to picture a world without electricity.
You know some things, though, I pointed out as we approached the Winthrop statue,
and like we'd discussed it before, started to turn around and head back to my house. I thought about my friends, about how through all the crushes and boyfriends and bad kisses and horrible dates we'd had, the four of us had been together, constant and unshakable. I know you guys are always going to be around.
Well, naturally, Palmer said, bumping me with her hip. That's just a given.
Chapter 14.
See?
My dad asked, gesturing to the screen with his bagel.
Not so bad, right?
I squinted at the TV, where John Wayne was walking across a dusty town square with the loping gait that I was unfortunately getting all too familiar with. "It's okay," I said, leaning back against the soft leather of the armchair and